Amen. Thank you. Stay standing and take your Bibles, please, to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Thank you very much. What a tremendous spirit. During Spirit Week, you're living up to the name of the week. This is a great place. This is a great honor and a wonderful pulpit to have the opportunity to preach behind. I do not take it lightly. I take it very seriously, and a great honor to be here. I'm thankful for the men that are on the platform that serve on a regular basis and in this college. I'm thankful for our president, Brother Douglas, doing a phenomenal job stepping in the role and taking it and running with it and doing a great job. I'm thankful for our pastor and first lady that was here a bit ago, and what a great man of character to take the time coming in from out of town, about to go back. And really, honestly, most pastors would just keep going, you know, and it would just make sense. But he loves you, and he loves us, and I'm thankful to be under that type of leadership. I'd like to say thank you to Brother Dave Douglas, and also I'd like to just thank God for the privilege to be here. I got Brother Stephen Lynn right out in the crowd here representing the seniors. He's been serving at our church for some time now and has been a great blessing and has been a big help to me, and I just want to shout out to you. Thank you. For that, I'm thankful that he's interning now and working with you here in this church, serving with church ed and a lot of other things. And I'm just thankful for the brother Dave's investment as well, and that's a blessing. Matthew 28, if we could, let's read about three verses, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Pray for Pastor Jeff Johnson as well, if you'd pray with me concerning his condition. And then we're going to preach. Amen. Verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Would you read verse 19 out loud with me, and then we're going to have a word of prayer. And if I could, can I get this microphone on? Will that work? Okay. Let's read verse 19 together if we can. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And let's have a word of prayer together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. We need you. God, we're thankful for the work that has literally been sacrificed for this ministry. Thank you for the teachers that represent student bodies as well that are out in the congregation. Thank you for everybody that's labored, sacrificed, and given. Thank you for the parents that entrust the college. Thank you for the students that have chosen here when they could have went many places. Lord, thank you most of all for being a great God. And we love you, and we want to honor you and give praise to you. I thank you, God, for your goodness. May you be with Pastor Jeff that's struggling, Jeff Johnson. I pray, God, that you would give him a good report today as he goes to the doctors, that you administer to his needs in a mighty way. We pray and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Would somebody say amen? You can be seated. In 1994, a young American father took his daughter to Israel. He wanted to see the country and to understand the uniqueness and the unique bond that's between this country, America, and Israel. She was only 11 years old and not yet able to fully understand the unique bond about this country and Israel, and also to fully realize what the Jewish people had been through and how close they were to complete annihilation. How unnecessary their suffering was. If only somebody had done something. If somebody had intervened earlier. It was because someone did intervene that the tragedy did even stop. So he took her to the Holocaust Museum by the name of Yad Vashem. Her father was concerned that she might be overwhelmed by the graphic nature of what she was about to see. He was hesitant but convinced, and he took her by the hand to go through this museum. In those days, it was arranged chronologically, and you would see how children were separated and isolated by having the Star of David sewn onto their clothing, not so that they could be honored, but so that they could be ridiculed and humiliated. The little girl was shocked that somebody would do this even to a child. She went through the part of Yad Vashem that depicted the Warsaw Ghetto, the horrors that would be inflicted upon the Jewish people that were herded into that hideous environment. And when the little girl came to the depictions and the pictures and the artifacts of the Nazi death camps, which were basically killing centers designed by Nazi Germany during World War II to systematically kill the Jews by gassing them, by mass executions, and through extreme work conditions and starvation. When the little girl saw these pictures, she was silent and stared, and she read all the captions that were found under the photos. When the little girl came to the end of Yad Vashem, there was a guest book and a place to write one's name and address, and there was a space to write comments. The little girl reached into her daddy's pocket, and she took a pen and began staring at that book. The dad was looking over her shoulder as she began to write her name and address and then come to a column that was there for comments. And with her dad looking on, she was all but 11 years old, and he watched this little girl as she wrote in childlike scribble these words he will never forget. She simply wrote this: why didn't somebody do something? To an 11-year-old, it became so clear, and she asked a simple question: why didn't somebody do something? That's all she wrote. She put the pen back in her father's pocket, and she did not say anything for 4 hours. And I'll come back to this text in 3 hours after I'm done, and we'll get to the place. There's nothing but preaching today, right? We're set aside just for preaching. What time is chapel supposed to be over? Okay. Hallelujah. You'll need to tell your boss today someone was letting you know of a major condition, that an epidemic that was going on, and the cure was being given. Amen? In our text here, Jesus Christ is our commander-in-chief. If you'll just look down at the scriptures just for a moment in Matthew 28, I'll go through this quickly here. Jesus, in verse 18, he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. He's the commander-in-chief. This is not the White House, amen. This is God saying, I have all power. I have all authority. In Acts 1:8, you'll see that we receive power to be witnesses. That's in the Greek, that's like a dunamis power. It's a dynamite type power. This is more of an authoritative power. He saying, I have the authority to commission us, that he's about to do here in just a moment. And then he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So I see not only the commander-in-chief, but I see the command, or the commission, if you will, to go. Amen. To teach or to win here. And that means to teach or preach the gospel. Because if you're not teaching or preaching the gospel, nobody's getting won to anything. Can somebody say amen? And then baptize and then teach again. And so the Great Commission, go, win, baptize, teach, from the commander-in-chief. And then you see the commanded to go ye. And that's speaking to a plural group. Jesus in his resurrected appearance here is speaking to the believers, the disciples. That would be us in 2017. And God is commanding us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen? And then we see here the love, or the vehicle, the car, if you will, that's going to get us across the boundaries of all people here. And that's going to be love or charity. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Amen. If you study 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you see God's church is gifted by the Holy Spirit, and he gives gifts to his children in order to serve in the church. Chapter 13 is the mobilizing of those gifts. That's charity, love, and action. It's the action word that helps us mobilize the gifts that God gives us. And then chapter 14 is rather that we prophesy or foretell so that the church can be edified. Are you following me, class? You understand what I'm talking about? God wants us to mobilize. He does not just want us to learn. He does not want us to just get spiritually fat, if you will. He wants us to be taking in so that we could give out to someone that needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am at an independent fundamental Baptist college. Is that right? Under the authority of the local church, under the authority of Jesus Christ. Amen. I believe not only is love a vehicle, but language is a vehicle, a tool that will help deliver the message. When you see the power of God coming on the people of God in Acts chapter 2, they begin to speak the wonderful works of God in the language of the hearers. And that was a miraculous gift. But don't get sidetracked by the tool. It was a tool to give the gospel, but the miracle was they were hearing about God's word. Amen. Some of you in here are gifted with more than one language. How many of you can speak more than one language? Raise your hand. God has gifted you with that. You may have learned it mundanely. You may have learned it through education, but you have the ability to speak to other people groups that God has commanded and commissioned us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I see in our text here the countrymen. As the all nations here. At one time I thought of nations and I would think of all of the countries of the world, the geographical lands. But as I studied the word there of nations, the word is ethnos or ethnicity, which is people groups. And we're to go to all people and preach the gospel. Can somebody say amen? Herein lies the problem, and I'll try to draw it in to a nutshell here. In this day that we're living, as they're rioting on the streets and all of the things that's going on that's battling us, I believe the elephant in the room or the elephant in the country is a word called racism. I believe we're dealing with the sin of racism, and we have to overcome through the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, that God has not eliminated anybody that needs the gospel. We need to preach it across every ethnic line. Here the word ethnos is nations 93 times in your New Testament. This same Greek word that is used here in translated nations is also used for Gentiles. I believe it's anybody that's not Jewish. Amen. God come to the Jews first. He come unto his own. They received him not. The gospel still should go to all people, including Jewish people and people of Israel, but it should go to all the other countries as well. The people, those of us in America, should not only go to all the mission fields of the world, but we need to realize that God has brought the mission field to us. If you look in the Chicago, we have all nations right here, all people groups. However, we're still segregated by railroad tracks. We're still segregated by economic status and different things that's keeping us separate. We sort of tend to naturally gravitate to people that we know, people that we recognize and can relate with. But God is calling us to go beyond those borders and to go to all people. And I believe there's a call to action day to mobilize and go into all the world. The largest church in the world is stated to be a church found in Seoul, Korea. When my wife and I was in South Korea, we went had the privilege to go through this church, not during a service. It's not a church exactly like ours, but we got to see the enormity of this place. And I was told that there were lines on service days backing out the building, literally hundreds of feet long to get into this church. I said, really, what's going on? They said that they're offering opportunities for the sick and people that can't afford medicine to come and to be healed and to be prayed over and so on. And hey, I'm in favor of God healing, but I'm not in favor of giving people a false hope either. One of my wife's favorite illustrations of mine is as we were trying to get mobilized in Chicago to go and canvass our city and go out and get the gospel. I talked to our workers that morning, and I talked about a healing line that we need. And I said, really what we need today is we need to just line up in this room and turn around and get a healing with a foot into the blessed assurance to mobilize us and get us off of our seats and go preach the gospel that God has commanded us to go do. I believe some of you are more worried about a clock right now than you worry that people are in hell and burning there and need the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need to mobilize and get up off of our back end and preach Jesus to people that are not saved. Go. I believe out of the fires of hell this afternoon, there's a call from beneath. It was not just a call from beneath and above and without in Jack Hall's day. There's still a call from hell right now of people saying, go tell my loved ones that Jesus saves. It's too late for them, but we still have time to get the gospel out. I'm not saying just on Saturday when you go on your bus route, but today when you're getting your Frosties, and today when you're getting your Big Macs, today when you're going to your work, tell somebody that Jesus saves and that he loves them and that he wants them to be born again. We have more young men in the community of South Holland and in the regions of Chicago going to prison than graduating high school. Yet we are unwilling to take the gospel to them many times because of this word of racism. Let's just break it down. Really, all nations, Acts chapter 17, of one blood. We teach in the Romans road that by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all are sinners. And so we teach them that we all go back to one man, right? One race, not races. We go back to Adam's race there. And why? Can I repeat another statement from another man that has stood behind this pulpit? Why does one piece of dust think it's any better than another piece of dust? Amen. Really, the only thing that makes us any different than anybody else is the grace of God. It's the love of God. It's the mighty redemption of the blood of Christ that takes away our sin. In regions near where we're at, the homicides and the murders are so high. And they tell me 70% of the murders are one particular ethnicity shooting another. Blacks killing blacks, I'll just say it. It's a sad thing, but when is somebody going to get a burden and say, hey, I'll reach all people groups. I'll reach all people. The minority in population representing the majority in our prisons, God help us to get a heart to preach to all people. HIV and AIDS are rampant in the Chicago area and Inglewood and other areas surrounding. There's graduating classes with over 50% of the seniors with the ladies already being impregnated or are single parent mothers. Is there not a cause? Is there not a need? Are there not somebody here with a burden to say, you know, there's more to this life than just me, myself, and I. And God is calling me and commanding me to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, I mean, the government's not assisting us any. They're getting more money for more children that they're having. They're getting more money for being out of wedlock, living in fornication. But somebody ought to get a burden to get the gospel of Jesus Christ to somebody that's on their way to a devil's hell. Oh, there's political parties that think that they have them in their pockets. Meanwhile, they're organizing groups like Planned Parenthood and murdering children before they're ever even born into this world. I thank God that my wife's here and she's with child. Amen. Our third baby is on the way.
They got to show me a picture of that third baby the other day, and it was like a peanut, the size of a peanut. But let me tell you, in 8 weeks, that little baby has got 163 beats per minute. That little baby's got a heartbeat. That little baby is alive. And somebody ought to speak for the person that can't speak for themselves. Where in the world is the heart? Where's the passion? Where's the energy to preach Jesus in these days? Where's Philip that's filled with the Holy Ghost going about preaching the gospel wherever he could go? And he come to the Ethiopian eunuch and he asked him, hey, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? I want to tell you today, you are the person that's going to guide, and you're the one that's going to take the gospel and help somebody. I think about that man at the pool of Bethesda in John chapter 5 as he was waiting by the waters to be moved by the angel of God that would touch the waters. He was unable to get himself up. It was 38 years, my friend, that he was there and he wasn't able to move. He was incapable of getting himself physically to the waters that would bring healing. But he said, how can I? I mean, he had somebody. He said, I need somebody to help me. I believe there's a call out today that's calling out for help and asking you, would you please get the gospel to people that are lost and dying without Jesus? Can you think of the Macedonian call as they cried out, come and help us. Come and help us. We need help. We need help. And we need to get a burden for this. You are the one that can do this. The energy that's in this room, the excitement. I mean, the literally excitement here could take a hold of the power of God and can preach Jesus to somebody that needs him. And just tell them, hey, what do I say? Just tell them that Jesus died for him, was buried and rose again. What did Philip do? He preached Jesus when he got there. Just preach Jesus. They need some help. They need some help. They need some help. They don't even know it. They're dead and they need some help.